Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Wherever you are, I say the Lord bless and keep you safe while we journey together into the things that are set before us by the Lord to come into, even in this season, in the name of Jesus. I perceive strongly in my spirit that this year is going to be a year of prayer. Not just because it's year 2022, but the season, as it were, with regards to God's program and economy, we have to be in the place of prayer, praying and watching, or watching and praying, so that we will not be left unaware, or we will not miss any points that the Lord intends to encounter us in this season. I want to say by the Spirit that there is coming an encounter from the Lord, specifically for those who have been exposed to the word of righteousness. There's coming an encounter of the Lord. There's coming a serious encounter to those who have been exposed to word of righteousness. Encounter that will characterize the bringing in of many, even into the everlasting kingdom, beginning with understanding of the things everlasting. There is coming, that encounter is just at the door, is just right at the door. That encounter is just right at the door. And I want to encourage everybody. I'm speaking by the Spirit. I'm speaking, I'm prophesying. I'm not just saying things because I just want to say them. No, I'm inspired to say that to us. There's coming, I find anointing of prophecy upon me right now while I'm saying this. So I'm not just speaking of myself. I'm not speaking on my own accord. I'm inspired by the Spirit of prophecy to say that there is an encounter. There's an encounter that is coming to everyone that has been exposed to word of righteousness for the purpose of entrance into the everlasting kingdom. What I mean is that a lot of entrance is going to be ministered in this season. And I also see encounter of the Lord. The Lord himself encountering, that what I find in my spirit as I say this is what he did to the Philadelphian church when he said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I have set before thee an open door which no man shall close, because when I close, no man can open, and when I open, no man can shut it." Perceive the Lord is granting an open door in this season for much people, many of us, to come into that everlasting kingdom. The coming into everlasting kingdom is coming into everlasting life, coming into the place of laying hold on everlasting life, coming into the place of the reality of everlasting life. And so I want to encourage us to please, everyone, stay in prayers. Stay in prayers and don't joke with the time that we are in. A whole lot of encounters are going to be coming, different, diverse encounters in different manners. The Lord is going to be bearing witness. The Bible said, talked about that the Lord bore witness, you know, to the gospel which they preached with signs and wonders and diverse miracles. You know, he bore witness to them with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. There are going to be signs of the Lord has his own sign, and the Lord also has his own wonder. and diverse miracles. Miracles I'm talking about here, yes, miracles can also mean, you know, people getting healed and people, you know, needs being met. But I'm specifically talking about miracle of entrance. Miracles of entrance. Some people will just have an encounter. It will look as if a scale fell out from your eyes. Some of us are going to have an encounter. It will look as if they replaced your heart. The kind of heart you've had that you're struggling with some of these things you're hearing. You just discover that your heart is like your heart had been torn. Your heart had been torn. You know, that's one of the signs of the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah, which is the spirit that is much operational in this season. The spirit of Elijah is the spirit that turns the heart off. It turns the heart. The spirit of Elijah turns the heart. The heart of father to the children and the heart of children to the father. I find that, you know, by the spirit, as things the Lord is going to be doing even in this season. So there's going to be a lot of encounters, diverse encounters, you know, when you have diverse miracles, you know, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Gifts of the Holy Ghost there, of course, we know gifts of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. The Lord will also give 9 gifts of the Spirit. But there are gifts that the Holy Ghost gives. There are gifts of the Holy Ghost. There are gifts of the Holy Ghost. Please just listen to me. I'm speaking by the Spirit. There are gifts of the Holy Ghost that is beyond just the 9 gifts. I'm not saying that there are 9 gifts. 9 gifts are the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and everything the Lord is going to do along the line of, you know, healing, signs, wonders, all the gifts of the Holy Ghost as in ministering. Because that 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost as the gifts of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with us. So it's for the profit of the church. But this gift that I'm talking about, gifts of the Holy Ghost, is a gift of person. It's not a gift of anointing. It's a gift of person. This gifts of the Holy Ghost is a gift of person. Meaning there will be persons. What I mean persons of the Lord that will be manifested to us. And that's a gift. You can't see the person of the Lord at any, you know, at any level, and it will not register something in your heart. It's a gift that the Holy Ghost is going to be bringing to us also in this season. I call it gift of persons, the persons of the Lord, the persons of God. Is a gift that the Holy Ghost also is ordained to give to us in this season. So I want to say, everybody, please be very, very vigilant and also watch and pray. Amen. We give God praise. Let's go back to our book of Philippians that we've been looking at by God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor. We give you praise and glory and honor, our Father, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning. Thank you for today. Thank you for the blessing that has been laid in store for us today. I pray, even as we fellowship together, looking into your word, that you will open unto us the door of blessing. You will cause that there will be much entrance, that you cause that I will also speak in alignment with that which is your mind for your people. You know what you want to say. I pray that I will be inspired. You will inspire me by the Holy Ghost to say exactly those things that needs to be said in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Quickly, the book of Philippians. Right now we are trying to round up the book of Philippians chapter 2, so that we can move to chapter 3. Amen. The previous time we broadcasted, we are talking about Paul and Timothy, where Paul was commending Timothy when he said he had no one that is like-minded who will naturally care for the church in Philippi. And we looked at a whole lot of things, but the long and short of it is that we're able to see that there is no, that like mind is a mind of someone. It's not the mind of Paul. It's not the mind of Timothy. It's the mind of the Lord. It's the mind of the Lord. It's the mind of the Lord that Paul had come into. And it's also the mind of the Lord which he was He had, by reason of teaching Timothy, by reason of, you know, Timothy working with him, Timothy has also come into that mind. In other words, one of the things that I said was that one of the things that we find in the book of Philippians was issue of mind, one thing, be like-minded and all of that. You know, Paul encouraging the church in Philippi to be of one mind, mind the same thing and so on, that, that mind, one thing, is something that the church has to come into. I want to say is, just to reiterate the things that I said before, we can't be of the same mind if we are not yet in Christ. Now, when I say you're not yet in Christ, I'm not saying you're not born again, you're born again, but there is a difference between being born again and if any man be in Christ. Meaning simply, you've not arrived in Christ. As a pastor, I've had some things, you know, that come up, some talks, you know, sometimes Satan will just want to not assault, because that's, for me, is nothing, but just use people to just say some things that will trying to get to you, to react, to make you feel bad, to have ill feeling and all of that, you know. I've heard people, you know, I'm from the East. And by that, by my name, you call me an Igbo man. Of course, I'm not. I am in the flesh, just like Jesus is that in the flesh. But sometimes I meet some prejudice, you know. And I'm not stunned by the prejudice, just understand that, but I just want to refer to something. I meet some prejudice, for instance, somebody who has never met me. I'm not an angel, I'm just a man like every other person, of course with faults. Somebody who has not met me, just hears maybe my name, Pastor Emeka, and then hears his pastoring a church. My children, actually, you know, that I'm, by God's grace, pastoring, you know, maybe parents or whoever, guardian or whoever hears, okay, which church are you attending? What's the name of the pastor? Igbo man, ha. You know, sometimes when I hear it, I just laugh. I laugh because I know the one I heard not so long ago, I just told, the person was telling me, I said, well, the truth of the matter is that the person doesn't know who Christ is. If he knows who Christ is, he wouldn't say that thing. And apparently the person happens to be a believer. I'm not against the person. Neither am I bringing it up for any reason. But I just want to show you something, that in Christ, there is a law that is in Christ. That law is stronger than the law that's makes for ethnicity or nationality. I travel to minister in different places. One of the things I saw so many years ago, before I began to minister, travel and minister in Europe, majorly I minister, you know, among the whites, and then, you know, one of the things, I remember I had a vision one time, and I saw myself ministering to whites. That was some years before I even, the door opened to travel and minister in this capacity. I was ministering to whites, and, you know, I think the Lord was just trying to put that in my heart. And one of the things that I also knew I have to trust God for is to not look at skin color, not have prejudice. Of course, those days growing up, there were movies that, you know, that goes on in the TV series that a lot of people watch, or you need to watch, like something like The Roots, where they were calling the black man Kunta Kinte, you know. The Lord prevented me from watching it. I didn't know I was going to have anything to. Then I wasn't even a minister. I was just a brother. But I didn't like that movie. Something was just, my spirit was withdrawing from it. My spirit was withdrawing from it because it was later on I now saw, if I had watched this movie, I would have had prejudice sown into my heart towards the Caucasian or towards any other race for that matter. You know, but I discovered I couldn't watch that. And there were also movies like Django that came out. I wasn't, you know, so just movies that will have anything to do with slave trade and all of that. Because you see, this, Satan deliberately does these things. You won't know when you watch these things and what they leave in your heart. Movies are deliberate. It's deliberate. It's Satan. He wants to sow seed into your heart, and many seeds that trouble people, the issue of racism, prejudice, and all of that, even in Nigeria, ethnicity, all of that, we are as a result of things we have either heard or seen or watched in a movie. It has sown a seed in our heart. And so when we come to Christ, we come with that infirmity, we come with that disease. It's a disease. Is a disease that many don't see as a disease and see as something to be healed. So I said it's a disease, you know. And so the Lord made me then, I didn't know why I wasn't watching such movies. But anytime I just feel withdrawn in my spirit. I like to obey my spirit. I just feel withdrawn in my spirit and I will not watch it. So later on, I began to see that this was the reason the Lord didn't want me to have my heart prejudiced towards any particular race or towards any particular people. Growing up also was like that for me. I didn't grow up in, though I grew up in Enugu, you know, as a teenager from my, youngster's age, from a kid, I grew up in Enugu. But the Lord made sure I didn't grow up in a place where it was predominantly Igbos. No. I didn't. I grew up in a GRA, and there I had Indians as friends. I had people from America as friends. I had Filipinos as friends. I had Yorubas. As a matter of fact, then my best friend that when we were growing up was a Yoruba boy, and you've heard me talk about him a lot. I had children from Edo that were my age mates, that we are my friends. We are just, it was like a melting pot. Yeah, there was no, you know, that, and I appreciate that because if the Lord knowing, you know, because the Lord knows things ahead, the Lord knowing what he is going to be doing with me, make sure that even my upbringing was tailored in such a way that my heart was not prejudiced. My heart was not brought into a situation where I have a prejudice or, you know, sentiment, as it were, you know, towards a person or towards a race or towards an ethnicity. I don't know why I am like that. Sometimes I ask myself, am I really okay? But I want to say it's the Lord that helped me. The Lord that helped me. But as I began to see, you know, grow and begin to study the scriptures and hear preachings and hear Christ, and I discovered that Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, that if he was to be on earth today, many people won't follow him because he was a Jew. Right now on earth right now, there is this anti-Semitism that is almost everywhere. I mean, you go to Europe, anti-Semitic comments and, you know, anti-Semitic, you know, rhetorics and all of that. Of course, we understand what happened during the days of Hitler, where 6 million Jews were killed. And up till now, some people are still denying that it never happened. Some people are still denying that it never happened. And all Jews are being persecuted everywhere. Now, some believers, I'm telling you, some believers, if Jesus was to be here, will not believe, I'm talking about some who are believers right now, will not want to follow him because he's a Jew. But Paul says something that is very striking. He said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. That is the fulcrum of Christ. We do not know any man after the flesh. Even though we had known him after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more. Then in Ephesians, you begin to see God's program that, you know, he said he's our peace, who has broken the middle wall of partition. Ephesians chapter 2 has broken the middle wall of partition and has made the two. He's our peace, who had made both one. That is talking about the Gentiles and the Jews, meaning that in God's program, there is that plan to bring in the Gentiles and the Jews into one body. Because in Christ, there is one body. I quoted that was when I was teaching last time in Ephesians. In Ephesians, you know, I quoted that. There is one body. There are no two bodies. One spirit. We are all baptized into one spirit. Whether you're a Jew, you're a Gentile, whether you're a Caucasian or you're an African, whether you are from the West, you're from the East, we are all one spirit. There is no, and in heaven, for your information, there is no heaven for whites and heaven for blacks. There is none. I don't even know how your body will look like. Because I'm sure from visions, when you see angels, their bodies are not even this color. It's almost like silver or bronze. Check your scriptures. It's almost like silver or bronze, something. So they are bodies terrestrial. They are bodies celestial. So we don't even know what we are here is. We are here being deceived by Satan. So I just say that to say that when I heard that, you know, when I heard that, because that was for me, that was a prejudice. When I heard that, I just said the person doesn't know Christ, you know. And of course, I know I should not even take it to heart. That I'm bringing it up is because of what I'm teaching. I should not even listen to that. I shouldn't take it to heart. And if I meet the person any other day, if I happen to, I have not never met the person that say that. But if I meet the person at any other time, I'm going to see. Is it because he's my brother? He's my brother. Because he's a believer, I'm going to see him as Christ. I'm going to relate with him without even thinking twice what he has said or what he has not said or where he is from or where he's not from. One of the things that shocked Pastor Jesh, that my brother in Poland, you know, whenever I'm ministering, he said to me, the way you minister, you have some kind of boldness that I wonder where it came from. Because you minister not looking at, he said he has seen other blacks minister, you know, try to minister in especially in Poland, how, you know, there's that either inferiority complex or that, you know. So he said, but when you minister without even, you know, because if I'm led to lay hands on you, I'm lay hands on you. If I'm led to speak into your life, I speak into your whatever, because I have to yield to the Spirit. Now I'm not saying that is boldness of man. No, is a boldness of the Spirit. Is a boldness of the Spirit. Amen. Now, he used to be shocked. There are people that we've met that needed to, the Lord led me to go and minister to, and I'll tell him, well, let's visit to so-and-so person. And such people, even though they are from the same place, there are people that he will think twice, you know, to either go to their place or go and minister to. But I'll tell him, let's go. You say, do you really want us to go? I said, let's go. The Lord is leading me to go. And we'll go there and I will tell the person what the Lord said and I'll lay hands on the person and the Lord will confirm his word. You know? The reason is, what I'm saying is that, is because I understand in Christ. One of the things I saw with Paul, one of the things that Epaphroditus, Paul was bringing concerning Epaphroditus, was the spirit of brotherhood. The same thing with also Timothy, although Timothy was more of a father and a son. But with Epaphroditus, he was bringing the spirit of brotherhood. Let me finish what I'm saying, and then we'll go back to Philippians. So I said, when I see the person, I'm going to relate with the person, love the person like I've never heard anything that the person said, because it should not in any way, I should not in any way be stunned by it, by God's grace, because the Lord had helped me to understand that in Christ, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. Now, what brings about that diversity in our mindset and not being of one mind is actually some of these things. Prejudice. Because be it as it were, we are all believers. We are supposed to be, we are supposed to know none of us after the flesh. But because we are already either ethnically biased or have prejudice against a particular ethnicity, we come to church with it. What commends understanding is love. There will not be understanding at this level without love. So Daniel was a man greatly loved. And that is why understanding, look at it, Daniel chapter 10 verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly loved, understand the words that I spake unto thee. So, a man greatly beloved. Then the next thing that came after it is, understand. So when they love you, they make you understand. Now someone will say, does it mean that if I don't understand, that means they don't love me? That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that love, you know, is also an expression seen both in chastening and also in giving of understanding. Now, you know, if the Lord wants to increase your capacity, if the Lord wants to increase your capacity to understand, part of the thing he does is that he will also prune you, that you might bring much fruit. That's love. That's love. And it's a love that not everybody will not be able to take at the same time. So those who can take it, it measures out that manner of love to them, and then waits for a season when the other ones who can take it will be able to, because he will continue to work with them at the level that they can take until he prepares them to come to the point where he can minister that manner of love. And he keeps ministering all manner of love and manner of love and manner of love until we come into the love. You know the love? Love eternal. Amen. Yeah, that love that will commend the hidden things of God, or the hidden wisdom of God to us. There's a love that will commend that. Praise God. So, like I said, Epaphras happens to be a brother that, look at the way Paul introduced him. Yet, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, one of the things I've been trying to find out in the scriptures, studying, trying to check, you know, Bible commentaries and history, is whether Epaphras and Epaphroditus are the same. You know, but I don't suppose they are the same because of some of the findings, but I'm not going into that Bible history. But I'm facing Epaphroditus. He called him Epaphroditus. Praise God. And there can be two different people bearing the same name. Epaphras is just like, you know, the short of Epaphroditus. But here we are facing Epaphroditus that he called fully, and he called him a brother. A brother. I love that word, a brother. Paul introduced him as a brother. So here, Paul was bringing out the issue of brotherhood. We can find out with Epaphroditus, he called him a brother. One of the injunctions that Peter gave, that was in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. I like that. He said, honor all men. Do what? Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the kings. I love that word, love the brotherhood. Means it's a hood. It's a hood. Which I am commanded to love. Is a hood. Is a covering. You know, when we say something is a hood, is it covers. One of the things you have to understand is that in Christ, we can't do without each other. We can't do without each other. In Christ, there is no my space. You know, I like my space. I'm talking to someone right now. Amen. You know, some people that will not compromise their soul. You know, I just like my space. Ah, this place is crowded. It's crowded. You know, there's just a lot of, I'm suffocating. I'm choking. I've heard some brethren will talk about they are choking. They just need to have fresh air. And what I'm talking about here is not that they have a lot of people living in their house. No. Because when you are amongst the brotherhood, or you are in the brotherhood, is a hood. Now, some don't like the fact that something happened one time, and I was telling, a brother was complaining, can they mind, I think it was his sister, was complaining, can they mind their business? Must everybody know everything? I said, look, you're in a community. You're in the community of brethren, and they all love you. You might not be seeing that love the way they are, but they care. What happened then was that something was going on, and then the matter was brought to me, and the sister was angry that why did the person he told brought, had to bring it to me. I said, oh. She was like, yeah, everybody is just talking about me. I said, yeah, in the community, they will talk about you. What comments understanding is love. There will not be understanding at this level without love. So Daniel was a man greatly loved. And that is why understanding, look at it, Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly loved, understand the words that I spake unto thee. So, a man greatly beloved. Then the next thing that came after it is understand. So when they love you, they make you understand. Now somebody say, does it mean that if I don't understand, that means they don't love me? That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that love, you know, is also an expression seen both in chastening and also in giving of understanding. Now, you know, if the Lord wants to increase your capacity, if the Lord wants to increase your capacity to understand, part of the thing he does is that he will also prune you, that you might bring much fruit. That's love. That's love. And it's a love that everybody will not be able to take at the same time. So those who can take it, he measures out that manner of love to them and then waits for a season when the other ones who can take it will be able to, because he will continue to work with them at the level that they can take until he prepares them to come to the point where he can minister that manner of love. And he keeps ministering all manner of love and manner of love and manner of love until we come into the love. You know the love? Love eternal. Amen. Yeah, that love that will commend the hidden things of God or the hidden wisdom of God to us. There's a love that will commend that. Praise God. So, like I said, Epaphras happens to be a brother that, look at the way Paul introduced him. Yet, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, one of the things I've been trying to find out in the scriptures, studying, trying to check, you know, Bible commentaries and history, is whether Epaphras and Epaphroditus are the same, you know, but I don't suppose they are the same because of some of the findings, but I'm not going into that Bible history. But I'm facing Epaphroditus. He called him Epaphroditus. Praise God. There can be two different people bearing the same name. Epaphras is just like, you know, the shot of Epaphroditus. But here we are facing Epaphroditus that he called fully, and he called him a brother. A brother. I love that word, a brother. Paul introduced him as a brother. So here Paul was bringing out the issue of brotherhood. We can find out with Epaphroditus, he called him a brother. One of the injunctions that Peter gave, that was in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. I like that. He said, honor all men. Do what? Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the kings. I love that word, love the brotherhood. Means it's a hood. It's a hood. Which I am commanded to love. Is a hood. Is a covering. Is a... You know, when we say something is a hood, is it covers. One of the things you have to understand is that in Christ, we can't do without each other. We can't do without each other. In Christ, there is no my space. You know, I like my space. I'm talking to someone right now. Amen. You know, some people that will not compromise their soul. You know, I just like my space. Ah, this place is crowded. It's crowded. You know, there's just a lot of I'm suffocating. I'm choking. I've heard some brethren who talk about they are choking. They just need to have fresh air. And what I'm talking about here is not that they have a lot of people living in their house. No, because when you are amongst the brotherhood, or you are in the brotherhood, is a hood. Now, some don't like the fact that something happened one time, and I was telling a brother was complaining. Can the man? I think it was his sister was complaining. Can they mind their business? Must everybody know everything? I said, look, you're in a community. You're in the community of brethren, and they all love you. You might not be seeing that love the way they are, but they care. What happened then was that something was going on, and then the matter was brought to me, and the sister was angry that why did the person she told had to bring it to me. I said, oh. She was like, yeah, everybody is just talking about me. I said, ah, yeah, in the community, they will talk about you. It's a blessing for them to talk about you. Yes. Means you are in the hood. Yes. If you're not in the hood, we don't talk about... Do we talk about somebody who is not in the... Do we talk about Davido? He's not in the hood. But if you're in the hood, you will be talked... People will talk about you. Brethren watch over brethren. That's why I said you can't. Even Paul, an apostle, needed Epaphroditus. So he was commending him. One of the things about Epaphroditus, he said he was a minister to me. He was ministering to me. That's to Paul. He was ministering to Paul. So it means Paul could not even do mighty Paul. The one that dragged spirits down, fought with the beast of Ephesus, still had to depend on the brothers, had to depend on brethren. There's none of us that can get to any point in our growth or spirituality. Any spirituality that makes you independent of your brethren is not true spirituality, is not Christ. It's not Christ. That brotherhood is the fellowship. That's why in Hebrews, it will say, let brotherly love continue. Now, what they were saying here is, they didn't just say we should love our brothers here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. They didn't say we should love our brothers. They said we should love our brotherhood. Meaning we should love the company. Oh, I don't like this company. I don't like this fool. They're always talking about me. No. You need to be talked about because we love you. We love you. You are loved. We care about you. We want it to be well with you. And if you do some things that are not right, that jeopardizes the whole community or the whole hood, we will have to deal with it, correct you, so that we can all move on. Amen. That's how it is. So, what I'm trying to make you see is that in Christ, we depend on one another. That is the law of Christ. Christ is not independent. That word independent, you know, I used to talk about those days in the community, you know, communities, those who we are probably born in the 70s, 50s, when there were much villages, not now that everybody is in the city. Now, those days, even in the 60s, early 70s, when we are kids, you know, in a community, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody. There's a way the community holds together because everybody knows everybody. Now, there are some things you will not do because it's not acceptable in the community. It's not as though the tendency is not there, but when you remember that, oh, if I do this, the community will frown at it, it becomes a restraining force. God used that in those days to prevent men from going into wickedness. So God also understood that kind, that you know, that natural community thing. Those days, when somebody is going to the farm, those days we are days of farming, more peasant farming, you know, and maybe there's a woman that just gave birth, because the woman that just gave birth will have to stay back at home to nurse the baby. So all other women that have children, maybe 2 years, 3 years, because there was no kindergarten, there was no KG then, will have to bring all the children to the house of the woman that is nursing. And the woman that is nursing will take care of all of them until their parents comes back in the afternoon or in the evening. She will make sure that everybody is okay. Right? You can't do it right now. You can't do it. What I'm saying, you can't do it in the city. Such virtues are gone. Satan carefully tore those things down. Even if you go, we have villages. If you go to villages, you can't even do it. Satan carefully attacked those things. Those were natural virtues that we are there. Satan fought it. Brought what is called civilization. You know, in civilization, I'm on my own, you're on your own, everybody's on his own. You know, you mind your business, you boil your water, the hole for your water, you do your own electricity, you do especially, and then you live in your own house, you know, your own apartment, where there's barbed wire, there is fence and all of. In those days, in villages, there's no walls, my house can be facing your house, and then we are all together. And then, I used to remember those days, let me just share with you, very funny, those days, just a little boy, during Christmas, of course, my mom used to cook rice, and then, you know, neighbor will give to neighbor, what my sisters, you know, my elder sisters used to do is that, because they want to be the first to carry rice to the other neighbor's house, so they wake up very early on Christmas Day and cook. By the time they are waking up, they are giving each neighbor's house, deliver their own rice and stew, cook already prepared. That becomes their breakfast for that morning. So other neighbors also started doing the same thing. So very early, everybody has woken up. What do you want? You want to make sure you deliver. That's community. That's community. We lost those things. Right now, everybody is on his own. And then we come to church. When we come to church, we still want, you know, that you call it civilization. I call it evilization. It's evilization. You won't know how evil independent is. You won't know that teaching of independence, which came from the tree of life, actually is against Christ's order. It negates the issue. So when it comes to brotherhood, some people don't regard brotherhood. They don't regard brotherhood. I know some churches where just funny things that, you know, they all come to worship on Sunday, and then the person You see the person every Sunday. You don't even know where the person stays. You don't even know where the person lives. For me, it's not different from going to cinema. All we have in common is what is showing on the screen. After what is showing on the screen to your tent, O Israel. There are churches like that. But one thing that God wants is a strong community, meaning strong local churches. That is what makes for brotherhood. I want us to desire to cultivate more of brotherhood. The Bible says, love the brotherhood. Love brotherhood. Don't hate brotherhood. Love brotherhood. So like I said, anybody who loves the brotherhood, part of what you do is to keep, to ensure that you keep, you do everything to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. That's one sign that you love the brotherhood. You endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, meaning you are willing to sacrifice. That was one of the things about Epaphras. He was willing to sacrifice himself for the general benefit of the church. He was ready to sacrifice his own comfort. That's somebody who understands brotherhood. He was willing to sacrifice his own comfort, even his health, jeopardize his life, jeopardize his health to minister to the church. Paul was saying that he risked his life because of the gospel. That is brotherhood. So one thing that you see with somebody who have learned the brotherhood. Now, these things are the things that are in Christ. So you can see we've not even fully learned Christ as we should. Do you love the brotherhood? Do you like to fly solo? You're on your own. I'm on my own. No, that's not Christ. We are together. Yes, in fact, we are in fellowship. It's a ship of fellows. That's what brotherhood is, also fellowship. So you're in the ship that has fellows. You can't be alone. I'm sorry, not in Christ. Except maybe you find another Christ. But if it is our Lord Jesus Christ, whose Father is Elohim, who is the Son of God, who died for us and resurrected, you can't be in Him and be alone. So somebody will have to come and knock on your door, look for you, check, look out for you, check on you, ask your whereabouts, and don't feel embarrassed. They are trying to know everything about me. Can somebody just be on his own? Can somebody just live on his own? Can I just live my private life? I like my space, so I like my space. You don't know Christ. You don't love the brotherhood. And can I tell you something? That mindset is a very, very fertile ground for Satan to mess up. He will hold you bound. You will not make any progress. Spiritually, you will just be so retarded. Even though you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be so retarded spiritually because you don't like brotherhood. Amen. So one of them was brotherhood. That was the thing talked about Epaphras. And he called Epaphras again, companion in labor. Meaning they walk together. They work together for the same cause and for the same master. Amen. 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 I used to know that reading Hagin's book or listening to his message, they will ask him, what about that, your competitor or a robot? Because they were all in Oklahoma, you know. They were all Tulsa, Oklahoma. Rema was in Broken Arrow, and also Oral Roberts University was just in the same town or the same city. And so one day a dear brother who does not understand Christ just asked him, what of that your competitor or a robot? He said, no, we are not competitors, we are cohorts. We are cohabiting the same place, meaning we are working together. were working together, and you could see it in his relationship with Oral Roberts, that they were, and they, to tell you that they were cohorts, they preferred one another. Those are the laws of Christ. Preferring one another. We've had, those of us who are, who followed Hagin will know the time that Hagin went to do his doctorate degree in Oral Roberts University and finished. And you know, the normal thing is that you come for your graduation. Now, Oral Roberts, who is the, like the head of the university, who is a minister of the gospel, said, no, it will not be good for Baba Hagin to come and queue with those who are graduating and be wearing graduation gown and all of that. No, I need to take his certificate to camp meeting. I need to honor him. So I won't wait for him to come to Oral Roberts University for the convocation so that he can be... You know, there's a way we'll do it. Oral Roberts wearing his academic gown, and then he's handing over the certificate to Kenneth Hagin in Oral Roberts University, you know? No, he said, no, I will not do that. I will take the certificate to camp meeting. So he took the certificate to camp meeting. And when he was giving the certificate out to Oral Roberts, he was giving the certificate out to Kenneth Hagin, he said, you are worth more than a million of this. You came to Oral Roberts University. You didn't just come to learn. You taught us. We learned a lot from you. And I've decided to bring this home. You want more than a million of this. Preferring one another. That's companion. May God help our hearts. May the Lord help our hearts. Preferring one another. Companions in labor. Is my companion in labor. Meaning we are companion in labor. Meaning we are laboring or working together for the same cause and the same master. Many don't see God's work like that. He's the same master. He's the same cause. And because we don't see it like that, that's why you see, you know, this one will arise to attack this one, the other one will arise to attack this one. One of the things I've learned is that if a minister makes a decision, which I don't know why he made the decision, I should not in any way come up to say anything. I leave it where it is. He said it. He knows the whatever conviction he had, whatever made him say that, probably among his people, among those who are his pastoring, is okay. If the Lord is not leading me to do that, I shouldn't do that. But I should not in any way now make it an issue. Because we are serving the same master. I'm sorry, I'm going to mention this because it saddens my heart. During the time of the COVID, one of our fathers stood up to say some things, you know, that's the COVID vaccine, and say some things about it, you know, not so much in favor of it. I saw ministers who are not even up to that pedigree coming on air and saying some very nasty things. And when I saw it, I said, God will help us. So we don't know he's the same master that we are serving. And we are laboring for the same cause of the gospel. Now, one of the things Satan always seeks to do is to bring matters like that that are personal to divide us. Amen. But we will not be divided. Amen. As we learn Christ, let's learn Christ well and understand Christ, that we are in Christ, we are companion. We are companions in Christ. We are companions in the work, in the labor, laboring for the same thing and the same master. Amen. I know the master, being our master, the Lord Jesus, might give us work specifically to handle. But in handling my own work, I should not think that my work is more important than the other. No, no, not at all. Not at all. Because we are laboring, I need what the other person is doing. So continue what I'm doing. I'll give you an example. Some of our young people, especially when you are exposed to light, you come to understanding of revelation. The first reaction, if you're not very careful, is that you have this kind of heart towards those who are not exposed to light or exposed to revelation. And it's not right. It's not right. You have to take the Lord, you know, saying some things to us, speaking to us through our parents in the Lord, like Reverend, you hear Reverend all the time. One of the things I love about our daddy Reverend is that the way he honors ministers. The way, no matter who the person is, you will never find him say anything wrong. Instead, he will not even talk about the minister. We have to begin to correct ourselves. Because you hear some people in some quarters, they will take up a father figure in the body and begin to tear him down on YouTube, on Facebook. And I wonder, are we not serving the same Lord, the same Master? Because what that father is doing, you need, if he was not, Satan would have finished you. In fact, you don't... Islam would have overtaken Nigeria if not for some of these our fathers. You don't have the pedigree to stop Islamic spirits. But the Lord has anointed them. And what they are doing may seemingly look weak. Okay, it's not revelation. It's not. No, what they are doing is important. And you must recognize it. And you must give them that honor. That, understand that they are also companions in labor. We are working together for the same cause, the same purpose, under the same master. Amen. Amen. So these are some of the things. So when Paul was mentioning, he wasn't just saying it because, you know, he's just trying to find words to embellish the profile of, you know, when he's greeting Epaphroditus. No, these things are real. These things are lessons that we ought to learn. Amen. Amen. Then he called him again, fellow soldier, meaning that he was warring alongside Paul. He was worried. You know, is this worrying that made him sick? Look at it in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. He wasn't just nigh unto death because of naturally falling sick. No, he fell sick. He was sick, nigh to death. But it wasn't just maybe somebody who wakes up, eats, you know, and all of that, and then all of a sudden they diagnose him of having an illness. No, the guy hazarded his life for the gospel. It was for the sake of Christ. Amen. It was for the sake of Christ that he was nigh unto that, meaning he was laboring. He was a soldier. One thing with a soldier is that no soldier that warred entangled himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, every soldier signs his death warrant. Every soldier signs his death warrant. So Epaphras signed his own death warrant in his service to the Lord, in serving the church. He signed his own death warrant. Now, that's why Paul could call him a soldier. Paul said something. He said, neither count I my life dear to me that I may finish my course. I imagine a soldier that is supposed to go to the war front and he loves his life so much. And as they're marching, he's hearing ta 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 ta, bam 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 bam, tam ta 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 ta. The guy, instead of marching forward, is marching back. He's just marching. You know, some will go and hide, and when the war is over, they will come out, and they'll give them medal. Not in this one, because the Holy Ghost will fish you out. Amen. Eh? No, not even Holy Ghost only. I'm sorry. Not even Holy Ghost. Spirits. Evil spirits. If you like, hide behind something, and then let others be worrying and worrying and worrying, and then you are hiding behind evil spirits. What are you doing here? Are you not among? You know when Peter was hiding, who are the people that came to bring him out? One slave girl. I'm sure it's an evil spirit that moved that slave girl. What are you doing here? You look like one of them. He says, no, I'm not one of them. No, even your tongue betrays you. Because you don't know you already have a tongue, a lingua, that shows you belong to Christ. So you can't hide as a soldier. So Paul was teaching us, he said, neither count I my life dear to me that I may finish my course. That's the attitude of a soldier. Praise God. So Paul called him, this is a wonderful brother. He called him fellow soldier. And then he called him again, who is your messenger? So one of the work that also Epaphroditus did was he was a minister in the Philippian church. Of course, when you say Philippian church, it's not one local or one church. You know, those days, church, Paul, when he's writing to churches in a city. You hear him sometimes say, greet the church in the house of Cleo. Greet the church in the house of David. And all, or Davis, and all the brethren there. Greet the church in the house. He's talking to maybe a particular church. Maybe he's writing to the church in Ephesus. He said, greet the church in the house of so-and-so. So all those, where they used to meet is in houses of brethren. That's what how church was those days. It's not today we meet in cathedral. There's nothing wrong with cathedral. Please don't misunderstand me. But like I said, they meet in such. So when he's writing to the church. So when he said, but your, who is also your messenger, but your messenger, that is, the word messenger is also the word servant or minister. So he was a minister among the Philippian church. I don't know whether he pastored a particular parish, a particular home church, but he was a minister. Now messenger is from the root word sent one. It's from the root word sent one. So he was an apostle to the Philippian church, the church in Philippi, you know, meaning all of the home churches that we are there. Epaphroditus knew about them, and the Lord had used him to minister to them. So he was a sent one. The Lord does that. There are pastors that are apostolic in their calling. Not a pastor, but they're apostolic. Meaning they are sent not just to maybe a local assembly. They have a way the Lord has, you know, designed for them to be able to reach other churches and strengthen those churches with the message of Christ. And that was what Epaphroditus was. He was a messenger, that's one with a commission or sent one to the church in Philippi. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we can now see why he was laboring and laboring and laboring and laboring and laboring. Because I'll give you an example. You have maybe like in a particular city, maybe the city of that's the city of Philippi. Maybe you have like 20 home churches, and he has to go preach here, preach there, minister to this one, you know, check to know how they are doing, and then bring, but when he meets Paul, Paul will ask him, how is the church in the house of Philemon? He's supposed to tell him something about it. How is the church in the house of, how about the brethren, those brethren that are, you know, and that was the manner of Epaphroditus. Praise God. That was a great man. That was a great servant of God. Amen. And Paul called him also a minister. So he wasn't with all of these that he was doing. He was also ministering to Paul. You know, those are some of the things we've lost in ministry. These are some of the attitudes we've lost in ministry. He was also ministering to Paul. So you could see that interdependence. That interdependence. He was still ministering to Paul. He would still come and visit Paul. In fact, here in this particular day, if you read that's Philippians chapter 1, where he was commending them for what they gave to him, he has received from the hand of Epaphroditus the things that you have sent. Let me see. Praise God. Trying to get exactly where it was. Is it in chapter 4? In that chapter 4? Yes, chapter 4, verse 18. For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which we are sent from you. So actually, Epaphroditus, who happens to be one of the messengers or one of the pastors in the city of Ephesus, had to carry some offering that the brethren gathered for to support Paul where he was ministering at that particular time. Praise God. So that's what Paul was talking about here in chapter 4. We'll get there later on, chapter 4. But let me just read it. For I have all, meaning that I've received all that you have sent, and I abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which we are sent from you, and he called it an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Then he now prayed for them. I used to say we like Philippians 4:19. But check 18. They did something in 18 that provoked the 19 prayer. They sent something to Paul. And when Paul was, you know, he said, this has ascended as a sweet smell. And he said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. I love that. All your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So he was the one that took those offerings that the brethren gathered to take to Paul and then gave Paul reports of how the brethren were faring in the church of Philippi. Praise God. Amen. So we understand again that Epaphras was sick, nigh unto dead, but the Lord delivered him. Amen. The Lord showed mercy. The Lord always shows mercy. Amen. The Lord always shows mercy. The Lord always comes true to us. The Lord never abandons us. Yeah, even when we hazard our life, you know, for the gospel's sake, the Lord always comes true to us. I can tell you, I'm an example of what I'm talking about here. The Lord showed me mercy. I would have been a dead person. I would have gone to be with the Lord since. But the Lord showed me, I'm just saying it, I know I'm saying it on air, but that's the truth of the matter. The Lord showed me mercy. The Lord had to show me mercy and show the community also mercy. You know, sometimes, you know, our bodies are driven beyond, you know, proportion, stressed, you know, because of the gospel, and then you just have to preach, you know. Just returning back from the journey, because of the work I had to almost every now and then, you know, preach. And you know, the Lord strengthened me. I didn't even know I was going to be able to handle all the preaching engagements, you know, back to back like that. And then coming back, I was supposed to be resting, but lo and behold, there was a commitment and I had to attend to it. And I was just, Lord, I said, like Paul said, we ministers have the sentence of death. so that we'll not trust in our own strength. So what I just have to do was to just keep asking the Lord for grace, for strength. Strengthen this body. Just strengthen this body. Just strengthen me so that your people can be blessed, you know. And you know, one of the amazing things that I encountered when I was away was ministering spirits. The help of ministering spirits was so obvious while I was away, in the journey. The help of ministering spirit was so obvious, so obvious. So I don't know how to explain that. I don't want to explain it so that you don't begin to think of me more than you ought to. But it was obvious. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And then, you know, one of those days while I was in the cold, shivering, you know, and of course, cold stresses your body and all of that. And a sister called me, who was there in Europe, who does not really know me. She has only met me for once when I came to minister in their fellowship. She doesn't really know me to know what my body was going through and all of that, or what I've gone through in the past maybe a few couple of, maybe like 2 years till now, doesn't know anything about it, just called me. She was supposed to be in the meeting, but she couldn't make it. And she felt she needed to give me that word of prophecy, which was absolutely accurate. And that was comforting to me. I just needed to hear that. Probably if I've heard it in Nigeria, maybe as prophecy, tongues and interpretation. Brethren here, you know, you say that. They know, okay, maybe that. But this one was this. It was somebody who doesn't know anything about me. I was just finished ministering and they were taking me. I've just finished and I was tired. I was being taken to the airport so that I could take my journey. She called. She wasn't in the meeting, so she called. She had to tell the person who was leading the fellowship if she can give me a message. There's a message the Lord gave to her concerning me. And then she wrote that message. And that message was so comforting. So comforting. It was comforting because I knew this was the Lord. So exact. So comforting. And she doesn't know anything about me. So there was... Is it that the Lord told her this? Or she somehow... But of course, there's no way she would have known to that detail if the Lord didn't tell her that. And it was so comforting. Praise God. I'm just saying that, you know, as ministers, one of the things that we need to do is to be encouraged that the Lord will not leave us alone. Amen. The Lord is always there for us. The Lord will always come true to us. He has come true to me many, 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 many times. Many, many, many times. I've had to fly sometimes, and it was as if I won't forget the incident. I was coming from a particular meeting, and the plane was in turmoil. The plane was as if it was going to crash. I just said, boom, boom, you know, as if being thrown, tossed, like this, like Euroclidon was carrying the plane, you know, in the air. And of course, everybody was praying. Everybody, you know, even the Muslims that were in the plane were shouting Jesus. So you can understand how serious it was. Those who are speaking in tongues, we are speaking in tongues, you know. And somehow I just kept calm. I don't know what happened to my heart that very day. I just kept calm. It went beam. If you've been in that kind of thing, you understand me. You know that you are nosediving, and all of a sudden, boom, it will go up again. And then I just kept quiet. I just kept quiet. My heart was just at peace. So the lady that was beside me, who happens to be a believer too, who was almost passing out of her body. She also happened to was pregnant and was in the plane. She was almost passing out. I had to hold her hands. Let the peace of God that passeth understanding keep your heart. So eventually when the plane stabilized after some couple of minutes in that you know, Euroclidon kind of wind. Praise God. I'm not saying that's particularly Euroclidon because it didn't crash the plane. You know, the Euroclidon that Paul had crashed the boat, you know. So she now asks me, he says, sir, why are you not scared? You are the only person who was not saying anything, who was not shouting. Who are you? I told her, I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I just finished preaching in a meeting and I'm going home. I'm going home to meet my family and I know I can't crash. This plane will not crash. Now, I wasn't saying it because I'm just confessing positive. No, the Lord actually gave me peace. So that peace at that moment, I could anchor on it at that moment. That's also how the Lord comes through to us in situations. You know, they came to Paul and told Paul, this, be of good cheer. No one will lose his life in this voyage. Then he now told them, the angel of the Lord stood by me and then said this and this and that. But I'm saying, I'm just trying to encourage us that as we labor together in the faith, in the gospel, let us also understand that we are laboring under one who is mighty. Who is mighty to save, who is mighty to deliver, who will not leave us alone. Praise God. And his name alone is going to be glorified in all that we do. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you for this time we've had to look into your word and be encouraged. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just perceive the Lord also wants me to encourage some others. You may say, okay, you just said it, some words of encouragement to those who are ministers. But what of those who are not ministers? We are all ministers. One way or the other, you minister. I want you to understand that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. When he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, he wasn't saying that to ministers only. He was saying that to all of us as believers. I will not leave you. I said, I will never, that's a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, it was Paul in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. And then he now quoted this, for he had said, the Lord has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to tell you today, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you feel you're going through, the Lord is there with you. The Lord will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will strengthen you and you will come out of it victorious. He will strengthen you. You'll come out of it, you know, unhurt. He will strengthen you and you'll come out of it better, a better person than you were before you went into that particular situation. So be of good cheer and rejoice in your heart. The Lord is with you. Shalom. Father, we thank you. Thank you for everyone. Thank you for this word of encouragement that is coming to us today. I thank you, Lord, because it is your word and you always watch over your word to perform it. Thank you. Thank you for those who are trusting you for a touch on their body. Lord, it is so. We say amen. Amen. I ask that ministering spirits will touch them to go to their homes, go to wherever they are right now and touch them for healing, for healing. Any type of healing they need in their body, even for tough situations that they can't handle and they are crying to you, I ask for angels to minister to them, even to that effect, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909 054 2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.